Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome not just like an amazing human, but one of my closest friends as well, Ash Jones, onto the podcast today. And I'm not just saying that because you sat there. Ash is the founder of personal branding agency Great Influence and part of Social Chain's founding team. And we've known each other for a good 5 years. The man behind the personal brands of the likes of Stephen Bartlett, his experience and knowledge of social media as a tool for good is second to none. In this episode, you're going to get so much out of it. We discuss the value in personal branding, the social media shift of the past decade, and the life shift that comes with taking on a leadership role. Please give this a listen, share it with your friends, anyone that's been considering what to do with personal branding, but also if you're on that journey of building your own business, you need to listen to this episode. So like and subscribe as always, and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. Okay, Ash, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I feel like this is going to be dead nice because we've known each other for 5 years.
5 years today.
5 years today. Which is just dead nice. Do you want to introduce yourself? Tell everyone who you are, what you do.
I'm Ash Jones, founder of personal branding agency Great Influence and ex-founding team of global social media agency Social Chain.
Can you say it better than I do? Yes, and we have known each other and worked together for a long time. I've asked you on the podcast today because we're trying to use this series as a way of talking about social for good, and the work that you're doing with a lot of your clients really pushes that and elevates them and helps them to be better at what they do, get new business, be more confident public speaking. So shall we start with a little bit, for those that don't know, about what personal branding is? How do you describe it?
So I've been back and forthing on this recently, where I did a workshop and one of the leaders who was going to attend the workshop was unsure as to whether we should use the term personal branding to describe the workshop.
Interesting.
And I know the reason why is because personal branding has a bit of a negative stigma attached to it in some circles. And I think a lot of people associate it with maybe something that you do for ego or self-gain. They associate people like Gary Vaynerchuk heavily with it, who's a very extroverted person. And I think it's got a bit of a negative stigma due to those things, and feeling like if you're going to do it, you need to be the kind of person who is like okay filming themselves, or you're trying to do it to get loads of likes and followers and all this kind of thing. But I think the best summary of it that I found was that it's not something that is for, like, fame and reputation are very different things, and personal branding isn't like the chase of fame and likes and followers. It's about very clearly understanding who you are trying to be to a certain audience, and trying to put that out there in the best way that helps you build trust, credibility, recognition, familiarity, all these kind of things. So I think that's, like, when it comes down to what it is, it's not all the shiny influencer Hollywood social media kind of thing that you might associate with it.
I hate the influencer side of it.
Yeah. It's actually just being very intentional about trying to cultivate a perception of who you are and what you do and what you're about to people.
Which is a great way of explaining it, because Gary V was the one that popped in my head then when you said about the term personal branding. Yeah. I think he's the one that always pops. But just yesterday, which will be in a bit of time when this episode goes out, been announced as Gymshark's new advisor on the board, which I think is absolute genius from Gymshark.
Yeah.
Because he will bring another level of notoriety and help them expand into the US market. So it's a good example of how personal branding can actually help a business in other ways as well, and building one.
In both sides, like they both win in that situation where he's like, regardless of what people have opinions on him either way, I think he's incredibly, incredibly smart. Like, you actually listen to a lot of what he's saying, and he's like very ahead of the curve on situations. He really knows his stuff. And not only did Gymshark get to tap into that, and I think it's like a really good foothold in like America for them as well, as they have to get started there and build from scratch there essentially. But also for Gary Vaynerchuk, his personal brand is opening up opportunities to be on the board of like some of the most influential businesses that exist right now. And Gymshark is probably, if you think of like a modern day business, it probably epitomizes like everything that is good about modern day business, like young entrepreneur, like social media driven, all those kind of things. And his personal brand has opened up the opportunity to get like underneath the hood of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like both parties are winning in that situation.
Whenever we ask a potential client at social chain, like who do you admire on social, it's always Gymshark.
Yeah.
And it's because they're always thinking ahead of everyone else. So that move to have Gary Vee as someone who is so prevalent in personal branding and also the social sphere and just being at the forefront of things, I think it's so smart. So we touched a little bit there about the value of building a personal brand, but to someone who isn't like Gary Vee, what would you say the value is of having a personal brand?
I always talk from my own experiences when it comes to this, because like at Great Influence, we obviously work with a lot of like really great people who have exceptional businesses that they are the voice of. And it's almost like it might be easy for them to build a personal brand, so to speak, because they're very like extrovert, they're very engaging as people, they're like clear leaders. When they're in a room, you tend to notice them. They've got these unbelievable businesses, all that kind of thing. But I've been doing it for the past like 6 to 9 months quite aggressively now. And I've started to see like really, really clear impact off the back of it. And I'm not like I'm not a Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm not a Stephen Bartlett. So if I always try to, when talking about personal branding and the impact and the opportunity, I just talk about it from my experiences, because I'm like, well, if I can tap into this, it's kind of proving that you don't have to be like somebody special, if that makes sense. And over the last 6 to 9 months, it's been very simple. Like all I've done really, I don't think building a personal brand is that like complex. It takes a lot of time and effort and resource. But at the end of the day, all I've really done is put content out there. There's nothing outside of that I've really done. But the impact has been like hiring has become easier. It's helped us like bring in new business, create opportunities with like seriously credible and reputable CEOs and founders. For me, it's helping create opportunities where I've been asked to do like a campaign with Samsung. I've been asked to do webinars. I'm sat here on this podcast doing this. So I think it's just a good example. Like you don't have to be a superstar to build a personal brand and tap into the opportunities that come as a result of building it.
I think that touches on something that, you know, I'm quite passionate about, is that authenticity around your voice.
Yeah.
Because when I first joined Social Chain and it was Steve that said to me, you need to start building your own. At first I was like, don't put me on the camera. I don't want to be in front of it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I don't want to be talking. You just keep me out of it. I'm here to do a job and I'm just going to get on with it. I don't want the other side of it. And then he set it as a KPI, and because I'm determined, I went for it. But it took me quite a long time to get my head around why people would want to listen to me. So why, like, what tips have you got for someone who needs to find an authentic voice or their authentic voice? Because you've done it, you've helped me do it as well.
You've done it, and like you just said there, you went from somebody who wasn't like comfortable on camera to being someone who can sit in front of a camera and do that now.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% comfortable.
No, but it's easier.
It's easier.
It's easier now than it was.
Yeah. I don't like being in a room though and people noticing me that much, which is happening a lot.
I think it comes down to like the how you overcome that like barrier of maybe putting yourself out there is, like you say, being like finding something that is authentic. Mm. And I went through it where I don't like being on video really. It was a bit of a journey that I had to go on to be comfortable doing it. And at first I like sat down at my laptop, like put the camera on and like spoke to the camera, watched it back. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
And I bet it wasn't that bad.
Probably wasn't, but it was, there was no way I was going to be comfortable with that, doing that.
No.
And then I did a talk, got invited to do a talk like pre-COVID in-person event. And I didn't know that it was being filmed. And then they sent me the footage afterwards and I watched it back and I thought, oh, this feels really natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, if I just take a little 90-second clip of this and put it out. And it felt authentic and comfortable to me. And then I did that. And then I'd figure out more ways that I could, like, if I wanted to do video, how could I do it in a way that suits me and feels authentic to me and feels comfortable at the same time. And like podcasts like this that's being filmed right now, but it just feels like a normal conversation. It doesn't feel like I'm being filmed.
Mm.
So it's even with people who maybe they're not thinking about like video yet, they're just thinking about how to get started. It's like find something that you'd be really comfortable just helping you dip your toes in the water.
Mm.
And then by dipping your toes in the water repeatedly, from my experiences anyway, that's where it becomes a little easier further down the line. Like now, I came in here and before I was vlogging, like I can do that now.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with it. But it took me finding a comfortable setting of just dipping my toes in the water and then doing that over time until eventually you build up a bit more confidence to try other things.
It becomes a bit of second nature, doesn't it, once you've done it a few times?
Yeah.
I think mine came from the reason that I talk so openly and honestly about stuff that's happened to me is because no one can argue against that from an authenticity point of view. So one of the things with the personal branding, when I started, I was like, I can't be the authority on social media.
Yeah.
I don't want to be another Gary Vee where I'm talking about stuff that's going on. I don't want to be a Matt Navarro where I'm telling you the stuff that's happening in the moment on social, because that I was always concerned that I was going to be caught out for not being right.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel authentic. So one of the reasons that I've gone really quite personal is because no one can argue against personal experience.
Mm.
And it's turned out that it's actually helped other people in the process. So in terms of, you did quite a good exercise, and without giving Great Influencer's secret sauce away, are there any tips that you can give to someone who's like just starting out their career, knows that personal brand is the thing that's going to help them elevate themselves in a sea of people that are also going for similar jobs or like that vision of wanting to get to a certain place? How do you find what is authentic to you?
I think first you've got to decide whether it's for you or not.
Mm.
I don't think everyone has to do it. Maybe there's a bit of a pressure now that a lot of people are doing it, so you have to do it.
That's interesting as well.
I don't think that's the case. Mm. I think if you're going to do it, the only way, like we know, the only way that you get any real result out of it is like consistency over time.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be consistent over time if it's not something that you want to do in the first place. So you don't have to be 100% passionate about it in the first place. You just have to have a curiosity to do it. So firstly, like decide whether it's for you or not. And then after that, I think the important thing, the thing that I did was I tried to figure out what I could talk about forever. Like I'd pick like what are the 2 to 4 things? And I always say this when I'm doing like workshops and talking with clients and things like that. What are the 2 to 4 things that you could talk about forever? And what that forces you to do is figure out what you're exposed to on a frequent basis. So I think a lot of people make the mistake when it comes to like deciding like, okay, I'm going to try to build a personal brand. What is my voice that I'm going to use in that? And they'll go like marketing. I'm a marketer and I'm in the marketing industry. I've got a job or I'm looking for a job in marketing. So marketing is going to be my thing. And technically it could be like one of my things. I'm like marketer, been in marketing agency, do marketing, all that kind of thing. But then I actually tried to come up with ideas for content, like things that I thought on marketing, and my brain just couldn't attach to any of the branches.
Yeah.
Of,
I think that's what I got scared.
Like where to go.
Yeah.
And what I had to do was like, it's because I wasn't really that passionate about marketing. It wasn't something that kept me up at night. It wasn't something that I was thinking a lot about. And instead I had to like figure out, like I say, what are the two things I came up with, like two things that I could talk about forever, and the two things that I'm heavily exposed to as a result. Whereas marketing, I'm like lightly or briefly exposed to it during my week. And they were like personal branding, like the art of it, the thinking behind it, the strategy, all that kind of thing. I'm a bit sad, but it's like genuinely something that goes around in my head quite a lot. It's not just something that I do like 9 to 5. I'll be sat at home and kind of thinking about it and things like that. Live such a thrilling life.
No, I think that's the dream.
And the other thing is like my experience running Great Influence as somebody who didn't think that they were really meant to run a business. Like it was never the path for me. So those were like my two things that I figured out. And I'm exposed to them. As long as I'm running Great Influence, I'll be exposed to those two things every single day, every single week. So I'll never be short of things to like observe and reflect around them that I can then figure out what I'm trying to say and make interesting points or tell certain stories. So I think that one exercise is like an incredibly useful tool for anyone who's looking to get started. Like first decide whether it's something that you actually want to do. And then try to think about what are the things that you're not going to be short of ideas for, because I've found if you're short of ideas at any point, you'll like miss, you'll take a week off or two weeks off and then you fall out of it. And it's hard to get into the routine of, whereas if you're kind of spoilt for choice in terms of ideas, it makes it easier to build that voice.
Which are amazing tips. And it also is not, it's not just for a business founder, is it? It's not just for a CEO. We've talked a little bit about the benefits that it can bring a business when someone internally decides to start raising their profile.
Yeah.
And it's something that I know you're considering in terms of what's next for Great Influence. How do you move into that space? So it's not just for the MDs, the CEOs of this world. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well and how it can benefit everybody to have a bit, if you feel comfortable doing it, what benefits can it bring to companies having people with personal brands?
Fantastic example. Claudia, who's part of the team, noticed her from her building her personal brand. She's now coming to Great Influence and like, yeah, again, like a career shift for her. So I think you're seeing it now. Obviously it starts from like the top down, like the founder or the CEO starts doing it. And then I think more people are picking up on it now. And I think it's just a snowball effect thing where you're seeing more and more, especially young people that are graduating, or especially in the marketing industry for some reason. There's so many young marketers on LinkedIn who are like very, very early career and they've cottoned onto it as a way that they can like build their CV almost and grab attention.
I think a lot of that is because people buy people and they know that that's what we're trying to do as an industry.
Yeah.
So whatever you do, you need to be tapped into culture in some way to be able to create content or adverts or marketing strategies that relates to people. So you're always going to have that little drive in you, I think, to connect with people, whether that's your own personally or with brands to people. Yeah. And that's that might be why.
There's so many examples recently. There's a guy, Nathan Bickerton, who's at Rise at 7 at the minute. And he like, he interned with Steve for a month off something that he did. He just took it, like decided to put himself out there, interned with Steve Bartlett, then went on to work at Rise at 7. And I seen him the other day and he was like, this is literally the best job I could have ever asked for. And it was like an opportunity that he created for himself. And you're just seeing so many examples of that. And it's really good to see in that I was in that situation, like before I joined Social Chain, before I met Steve, like 2011, and I wanted to do something, but I just didn't know where to start. Like where am I meant to look? I go on like Monster and Indeed, look at jobs, and it's like, none of this is exciting. None of this looks exciting. But there's so many exciting roles out there that aren't in those places. You think about like agencies, a lot of them you're probably not going to find the job on Indeed or Monster or something, but that's where young people look because they don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
So I never had, like, I had to put myself out there to find that opportunity in a different way. Mm. But I was that guy that was just like, I don't even know where to look, and I want to make something happen, but I have no idea where to start.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like taking the power back. Mm. You don't need, whereas maybe 10 years ago, you had to hope that somebody gave you an opportunity and you were right place, right time. Like, definitely for me, I was like immensely right place, right time, got an opportunity, took it.
So was whereas, I started here.
Yeah.
Like, Steve started following me on Twitter. I would never have known about Social Chain if he hadn't.
Yeah. Right place, right time.
Right place, right time.
But now you've got more power to, like, not wait for that.
Yeah.
You can have a LinkedIn profile now and get in front of people. Mm. You can DM. Like, when we were, like, job hunting when we were 17, you couldn't DM the CEO of
a...
But now you can. You can get a free LinkedIn trial and get in-mail credits and DM the CEO of a company.
You can DM anyone. That's what blows my mind on LinkedIn. You can reach people that you're massively, like, impressed by. But also it gives you an opportunity to really see behind, like, the culture side of stuff of a company when they're talking about how they treat staff. You get a bit of an insider info before you join. But in terms of actual business benefits to companies, what do you see? So, like, for me, if I didn't see the benefit of personal branding and I was worried about my staff going off to do personal branding because they were just going to use it to find another job, what would your argument be against that? Like, is there a benefit to companies having a team of maybe salespeople who've got good personal brands? And is it something people should be considering more when they're thinking about their own marketing strategy?
Yeah, definitely. I think people move jobs, they get headhunted. You can't avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think if you're intentionally trying to hold people back from something because of the risk of what happens as a result, people can feel that.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good, it's a bit of a red flag. Instead, it's just better to, I think I've seen a few companies where the team that run the business encourage it. They're not like, they're not telling them they have to do it. Mm-hmm. It's like a decision, but they'll encourage it. They'll give them resource to do it. I know like one CEO where they've done it themselves and then have done like a workshop to the entire team being like, this is what I've done. This has been the benefit for me personally in my career and our business.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think you can get out of it. Whether you do it is your own decision. But having people in your team that do it, I think the big plus is like the culture bit, because I can say how great it is to work at Great Influence, but I'm like immensely biased and everyone's going to think like, of course he's going to say that. But you get a better feel for it from the people in the team and what they say, especially if they make their own decisions with what they post, it's down to them. And I think it gives people a bit of an insight into what it's like to actually work there and what the kind of person who works at that business is. Like, do you see yourself in that person?
Mm. Interesting.
I think that's a good way to look at it.
Mm.
And I mean, there's other like periphery benefits, obviously, like new business could come through it. Just more of an awareness in the industry as well.
Mm.
I think if you get, it's like a reach multiplier.
Yeah.
It's like your message is being spread by more people. But the big one for me is like the culture piece. I think you get a really good idea of what it's like to actually work there and is it exciting or not. I think it's indicative of the actual culture of the business if people aren't saying how exciting it is or good it is to work there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hmm. Okay, so we've talked about the personal benefit of personal branding. It, without doubt, in my mind, or you might tell me wrong, wouldn't be such an opportunity for people if it wasn't for social media.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on social a little bit and how you've seen it evolve over time, because like probably the best example of using social media and personal branding together to help craft something, Steve's probably like blueprint for it.
Yeah.
What has been the potential of social media and how has it evolved since you were first walking through these social chain doors?
I think there's probably three stages, where the first one was, it wasn't taken seriously. It's just nobody knew the potential of it.
Mm.
And then it kind of had its like breakthrough. And in that moment is when it all went to shit. I think in that you had like influencers, just the whole influencer thing had a real big like boom around like 2017-18, mm. and there's a lot of like controversy, a lot of people getting things wrong, a lot of negativity, a lot of all that kind of thing. And I think we've kind of started to come out the other side of that now.
It feels like influencers are different now.
Yeah.
Because we had that moment, didn't we, where it was very much fake followers, buying your followers, ending up with where you were because of the numbers that you'd bought, and then brands didn't know what they were buying.
Yeah.
And then I think the bubble burst, you're right, when it was like, it was Keith Weed, wasn't it, at one of the events, he was a Unilever, I think, and he said, mm. we've got a real problem with fake engagement, and you're not actually buying anything when you're buying influencers. And I think personal branding got tarred a little bit with that brush.
Yeah, definitely. Anything that falls under the influencer bracket kind of got tarred. But I feel like it's coming out, and not just like influencers, like social media in general, I think it just feels a bit more of a, feels less of a Wild Wild West.
Mm.
And it's coming into like a maturing phase now, and it's gone through, it's like teenage years and it's grown up a little.
It's really interesting because the briefs we're getting here at Social Chain now from clients is more about how to use social to solve business challenges.
Right.
Rather than before, when you were first here and when I first started, it was, how do I make this go viral?
Yeah,
how do
yeah.
I get as many people to see this as possible? Whereas now there's been a shift within businesses that social can be a tool to sort of build or solve problems internally or face a challenge that they're facing. What do you see that the value is of social media to those people who are just building their business now? Because you deal with a lot of people, like a lot of founders, you see quite a lot of experience, don't you, of people who are starting out or on a journey with their business and trying to use their personal brand for it.
Yeah, I think in terms of just social media and businesses in general, there's like so many insanely broad use cases. And it feels like the NFT space is like social media in 2014 now.
You try and tell me about this and it blows my mind.
Where I'm not into it, but
you're more into it than I am.
The whole thing of like, there's one reason why NFTs are popular right now, and it's like a profile picture thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's driving the whole space and the huge amount of money in it and all this kind of thing. And it was kind of like with social media and going viral. It was almost like social media was a tool for doing one thing,
mm.
and that was it.
Yeah.
But now social media is a tool for doing so many things across so many aspects of business. And like this whole NFT Web3 thing will get to that point where you unlock all the use cases for it further down the line. But in terms of personal branding and social media, I think that's maybe where personal branding on social media is kind of where social media was in general, like 2013-14. I still think it's really early.
So you get first mover advantage if you get it right, don't you?
It massively.
I don't think my profile would be where it is if we hadn't started it so early on.
No, I think you get massive first mover's advantage, and you're like, take Steve for example.
Mm.
Would he be able to, if he started today, that 5-year journey that he'd been on in personal branding, would he be at the same, would he be able to get mm. to where he was? I don't know, the competition's way
bigger.
Way bigger. So yeah, there's like first mover's advantage, but it's kind of getting to a point where I think we're going to see the whole personal branding, social media thing really pick up over the next like 2 years. I think this personal branding on social is kind of where like it feels like 2015, where it's just starting to, like Great Influence over the past 12 months has felt very different in terms of the market's desire for it than the first 2 years of Great Influence. The first 2 years of Great Influence, I was like trying to get people to
think, benefit of it.
Yeah, to think about it. Whereas now people are like, I have to be doing this, which is a very big shift in the space of like 2 years, so to speak. So I think we're just starting to come onto that.
Who do you think is really good at personal brand? Who does it well?
Katie Leeson.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say really well. Stop it. That's for the, just you help me with mine.
Yeah.
So,
but your thing is like where it needs to sit, really, in that it's about understanding what your values are, articulating them well, consistently over time in a way that helps people.
Mm.
That's how I'd summarize it. Whereas a lot of people might go, I'm going to try use this to further the business.
Yeah.
Whereas it's kind of like, don't worry about that. That will come as a result. Or I'm going to use it to get more followers or
notoriety
or anything like this. But if it comes from the right place, which is that I just referenced then, the rest takes care of itself. It almost comes as a byproduct of figuring it out, where it's just a thing that's not for gain.
Yeah.
It's for like purpose and value and use. Which makes sense.
And that's interesting because the last few weeks I've had to really think about what is the purpose of it.
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this? And Meg's here. I don't know how she does it. She taps into my brain. But we've really honed down on this is why I'm so passionate about getting this podcast series to be around how to use social media for good and show people that they can elevate their careers, they can build their networks, they can build their personal brands that can help them do that and benefit their businesses. Because I want the purpose out at the end of it. Because otherwise it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
But I'm not the best example. You've got better examples than me. Because you helped me do it. Of course it's going to be good. It's not going from me.
I think at the minute, something that I really like, I wouldn't say like what's the best example of doing it, but I think something that I think is a really smart thing to do is like real-time documentation and storytelling of your and the business journey.
Mm. Is that because you're reading Shoe Dog?
No.
Because it made me think that. Shoe Dog is just amazing because it just goes all the way back through. Yeah, an amazing memoir.
But yeah, like real-time storytelling and like looking around your week and giving and figuring out how you can take something that's just something that's happening in the week and turn it into a story that people can connect with and engage with, and giving people that like fly on the wall insight into your journey and the business journey, but crafting it in a story or an engaging piece
with that purpose behind it.
Yeah, is something that I think is like a really, if people leverage that at the minute, that's like a really good way of doing it, I think.
That's cool. Okay, I'm going to jump to our admission submission because, again, I feel like with this one, we're going to end up talking about this for a while because it's also something that I think we both can appreciate. So before the podcast, we asked you to come armed with an admission submission of your own.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I know what it is. I've got it. Don't worry, it's good. We've got it. You can read it. And the podcast is called I Shouldn't Say This But, because in every episode I open up with honesty and I talk about subjects that someone in the role of MD would usually avoid. So I
remember what it is now.
You got it now. Yeah. Got it set. Great. So I talk about things like anxiety, imposter syndrome, fear of failure. Would you mind sharing your admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's about struggles you've faced during your career, a secret about lockdown, or something you're trying to overcome? So, I shouldn't say this, but...
Leadership is a life shift that you have to be ready for. Along the lines of that.
I've got a different one, but I like that
What was it?
I've got I Can't Switch Off.
Oh, I can't switch off. Yeah, it all plays into the same thing. Yeah. I shouldn't say this, but I can't switch off. 100% true. But it came from...
But I do like the first one, so let's stick with
it's
that.
It's all in the same point, essentially. And it's a hindsight thing. And I, interestingly enough, I say this to people when they're like, oh, I'm thinking about buying a dog. And I got a dog at 26. Love my dog to bits. Greatest gift I've ever given myself in my entire life.
And you went viral with Bruce.
Yeah. But I'd have waited a little longer.
Would you?
Yeah. And it's only in hindsight that you understand what you lose by making that decision.
Mm.
And why I say, like, I can't switch off as soon as Great Influence became a serious part of my life, say goodbye to being able to switch off.
Mm.
And you don't realize that until you're, like, I only realize it in hindsight. So really the conversation needs to be on people that are on the other side to let other people know. Like,
are you sure you want to do this?
Are you sure you
want to
do this?
Have you thought about this?
And that's not to say it's a negative thing. Like, no. It's the greatest blessing,
mm.
the greatest. Mm. But you do have to be ready for it. It's almost like growing up in a sense where I use the example of going on nights out where we were out on Saturday.
Mm.
I was at the night and I feel like I just can't give myself to the night in the way that I used to be able to give myself to a night out. You're smiling. You get it. Where I used to have like such great nights out and they'd be like an adventure all in themselves and like this just a great journey throughout the evening. And to be able to do that, you've got to kind of like, you've got to be carefree and be able to switch off and forget everything that's going on and just be able to enjoy the moment.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing that I've learned in hindsight is that I've lost the ability to truly enjoy the moment without something in the back of the mind. And I'm not complaining about it. It's something I've noticed.
It's a change you have to make, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think mine was, well, you've got a name for me when we go out.
Yeah.
That I have to really watch. I don't know if you're the same as this, and this is no offense to like the team and Meg that you're here, but for me, when I became a leader, I felt like I had to really mute my personality when I was out.
You have to tone yourself down.
I had to tone myself down because I had to be responsible and I couldn't be seen to be being silly, and I had to be the one that people would turn to if they needed it. I can't be absolutely steaming.
Yeah.
Leeson on the Loose.
Yeah, that's
which,
the one.
That's the name.
Leeson on the Loose.
Which is great, and not many people will experience it. That's the thing. So how do you find that you can do that with certain people and not others? Because I do that. I feel like if I'm with, like on Saturday,
didn't look
at my phone, put it in my bag and just had time with people who don't see me as like, they've known me for so long that they know that I'm not that leader.
Yeah.
And I have to craft that space out for myself sometimes.
Right. I'm fortunate that I don't have to do that. I think because we've got a small team.
Yeah.
There's
and
like,
you're so
what,
close and, and tight knit.
I think when you've got that small of a team, you can't hide who you are anyway.
Yeah, but you spend not get absolutely steaming.
Yeah, well,
steaming is different.
I think because we have a small team, you can't hide who you really are anyway because it's that intimate.
Yeah.
Me trying to like mute myself is it just wouldn't work.
I felt like I had to grow up and I don't like it.
Yeah, but
I like being like Peter Pan.
It's not about like when I said that, it wasn't about having to manage myself in front of other people.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was about my own experience on the night out. It's not I'm sat
what
there
else
thinking
is going on in there.
Yeah, I'm not sat there thinking, oh, I need to make sure that I'm, you know, keeping up a good image or anything like that on the night out.
I'm not that bad.
No, you're not at all. But it's more in my own head, being able to enjoy the night out. And I can't have the nights out that I used to. And they're really useful for being able to switch off.
Yeah, they are.
The thing that I've struggled with is like, not like learning how to switch off. And I'm going through the process of like, and like I say, it's nothing to do with anyone else. It's just a me thing in my own head and feeling like I'm relaxed. And I think that's the thing, like in hindsight, you see so many, it's glamorized like for young people to get into entrepreneurship. I can't think of anything worse than being in my 20s as the founder of a business.
Yeah.
Because you can do that when you're 30.
I know.
You can do that when you're 35, 40, 45, 50. You can do that at any point. Yeah. There's many examples of incredibly successful people who started at 50.
Mm.
And you can live a life to 50 and then decide to do the other thing. So I think like entrepreneurship is glamorized for young people at the minute. And you don't know what you lose until it's
you're
gone. And you can't go back then.
Mm.
You just can't. You can't make that shift back again.
It's a blessing and a curse for you, isn't it? Because you're so passionate about what you do. So
it's not a curse in any way, shape, or form. It's just a huge blessing. But that's not to say that life isn't different.
Yeah.
And there's things... It's like anything in life. I hated school. But there were some good bits about school that I'll never get back.
Yeah.
And I look back on them and go, oh, if I could do that again.
Mm.
Doesn't mean I want to go back to school. Doesn't mean that I want to go back to the life that I had before, but it's like getting the dog. You can always do it a little bit later and just be mindful that like if you're doing it, it's for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Like for me now, I'm like, I've learned to, whenever I have that, I've actually got to a point where on nights out and things like that, I accept now like that's how it is. And I can enjoy myself more now when I'm not frustrated that I'm trying to chase a feeling that's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So now I enjoy myself more on nights out because I've found like an acceptance with it.
Yeah.
But it's just the reality of it. And I think I would never recommend a young person to do it because there's just no need.
Mm.
Like enjoy youth.
Oh, live your youth, kids.
Oh, live it.
Oh, we miss our youth.
Once it's gone, it's gone. I'm thankful. No, life starts at 40.
That's what I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so.
Do you know what I think it is?
Go on, what? It's people like us that are hoping that it is.
No. I think it does. I think they're right. And I think what happens is the 20s, you have the youthful thing. And then your 30s, you go, oh, I've lost it. This is awful. And then you get to 40 and you realize that you have like a new lease. You get over that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you accept it. And just like I was saying then, I've like figured a way to accept it and now I enjoy it more.
Yeah.
I think that grows from this point forward. So when people say life starts at 40, I think I'm starting to understand why.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I have to do things like just switch my brain off. Like yoga is really good for me because I have to focus on what I'm doing in that moment. Yeah. I can't be thinking, right, tomorrow my to-do list is X, Y, Z. I have to think, if I don't focus on that one spot and concentrate on balancing, I'm going to fall on my face. So I've found not even a fitness benefit to doing something like yoga, but a real mindfulness benefit because it helps me just my brain to calm. Otherwise, I'm end up in a million places.
I found nothing yet. I've tried everything. Yeah. Nothing works for me.
But that's because I have to, not because my brain wants to. That's because if I don't do that, then I will end up crashing and falling.
Right, yeah.
So I found something that enables me to not, that is forcing me rather than like...
Yeah.
But I completely understand. I think my interpretation of it is slightly different because I put responsibility on myself because of the team and the fact that I don't want to look silly.
Yeah.
When I'm dancing on tables.
I think I'm getting to, recently I found myself, and for me it's like the phone addiction is in there somewhere with the switching off thing. I don't think it's just the like mental thing. I think I have the physical addiction to the phone and that doesn't help with the switching off.
I've had that feedback from boyfriends that I'm never there.
Same.
That I'm not there. That,
yeah, yeah.
That I'm not present.
Yeah, I've
and
had
I feel
that
really
so many times.
Guilty for that.
Yeah.
Because I want to... And I was listening to a Jay Shetty episode, actually, and he was talking about the relationships you have with people. It's not about the amount of time you spend with someone. It's the energy you put into that time you're together.
My energy is so... I'm so bad.
It's really
bad. I feel bad for anyone.
It's really bad. Yeah, and I've tried to make a real conscious effort that if I'm with someone, my energy is 100% with them. Because otherwise I'm going to end up around me with like very little. Yeah. Or my relationships won't be as solid because I haven't been putting into that. But the energy, it was really interesting because he was saying about his parenting he was talking about.
Right.
And how parents, and especially mums, put pressure on themselves if they're working a really long hours and then they go home and their kids are like ready for bed and they don't get to spend loads of time with them.
Mm.
But what he said, which I found really interesting, was as a kid, you don't remember the amount of time that your parent is at home. You remember the energy that they give you when they're there. And that was a shift for me. And I was like, that's what I need to do. So I've got no notifications on my watch now. I've turned it all off because constantly I was just getting like, my phone's gone.
I noticed it this morning. This morning was the first time that I thought, what if I just turn my notifications off for a day?
It's a dream.
Not that I wouldn't check them, but I'm going to them rather than them coming
to me.
You're
controlling it rather than it controlling you.
And interestingly enough, on that point of like quality time over quantity time, I have that with like the people that we started Social Chain with, still friends with now.
Mm.
And we don't see each other that often. But when we do, it's really quality time. And the thing that came in that really shifted it was... it's actually Steve. We'd go for dinner and he'd take all our phones and put them in the middle of the table.
Because he was the worst.
Yeah.
So it's stopping him from using his.
And it was just the best, like, because otherwise we've all done it where like I'll sit with my friends and we'll like play FIFA or watch a football, and 90% of the time we're just like in between the moments where we're connected to the TV or the game, in those little moments where you could instead talk or something like that, we're just in the phone. And I think it's like, I remember it starting like maybe 2 years ago when he started doing that. And now it's almost become like the culture that when we see each other, it's not only bled into a thing that when we see each other, we're a bit more attentive. We make more of the time that we have with each other.
Yeah, it's the energy, isn't it? We do things
like we go out of our way to make sure that we make it an experience. Like we do something that is an experience and we can enjoy, and we're attentive with each other when we're there. And it's like I say, we only see each other maybe, you know, as a group because we're all over the world right now, a couple of times a year.
Mm.
But when we do, it's always like a very memorable moment compared to like I might see friends 30 times a year, but I can't really remember any of those 30 times, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I need to basically shut my phone off more.
Energy. To think about your energy.
Yeah.
On that note, we'll leave it there. I think that's just incredible advice for people. Don't jump into something unless you're completely certain on your purpose.
Mm.
And you know you can give your everything to it because it's going to take over your life in a good way, but also you've just got to be mindful of it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ash. I think there's so much to gain from personal branding. You teach me so much all the time, and I want to say publicly how much of a help and a confidant and a support system you are. So
thank you. Oh, my pleasure.
I have absolutely loved speaking to Ash today, and I'm so grateful that he took the time to come and share his wisdom with me. I'll be back with another episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But next week.